You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. What is a master? In the context of the martial arts, what does the word master mean? Now, I'm mindful that there is always potential for error when translating a foreign language into English. But I find the title master to be vague at best, sometimes causing confusion and even occasionally stoking the fires of egomania. One of the most impressive and knowledgeable martial artists that I have ever met is my teacher, Guru Dan Inosanto. On the day I first met him, another student approached to ask him a question, opening with, "Excuse me, Master Inosanto," at which point Guru Dan politely interrupted with, "Please, don't call me master. I'm not a master." Whoa, this made quite an impression on me. Whatever Guru Inosanto's opinion of his own level, it didn't seem to rise to the level of master. So, what does this title mean? Does it mean that you have mastered every detail of your martial arts system? Whatever that means. Is it possible to improve above and beyond the level of mastery? Like my teacher, Guru Inosanto, I do not claim the title of master. I teach 6 different martial arts courses at my academy. I hold black belt or instructor certification in each of them. None of these was an honorary promotion. I put in the sweat, blood, and time for each and every rank, although it wasn't for the title that I put in the work. The knowledge and enhanced skills that resulted from the training were enough for me. There are a number of other men and women that I personally know from around the world who hold similar portfolios of credentials. Some martial artists, frequently from traditional backgrounds, will occasionally insist to me that it's not possible to legitimately hold such an assortment of ranks, that one cannot live long enough to do it. This opinion stems, I think, from the fact that there is a dizzying array of ranks and titles used in the surprisingly large number of martial arts styles from around the world, and a very wide diversity in the amount of time one need invest to earn them. At this recording, in the year 2015, I'm nearly 58 years old and have been training for 44 years. I do not claim to have mastered any of the styles that I teach. I do claim, however, to have learned enough to teach them. If there's been a trick to it, it has been a result of what I call the asymptotic learning curve. I name this hypothetical phenomenon after the concept in analytical geometry of the asymptote. The asymptote is a curved line whose curve bends consistently closer in order to approach a nearby straight line without ever quite touching it. This to me symbolizes the constant approach towards perfection without ever quite reaching it. The early part of the line curves much more than the later part, covering much of the distance to the perfect straight line. In the same fashion, one learns greater amounts in the early part of learning a martial art, hence the expression learning curve. Processing, internalizing, and refining the skill learned in the early days takes more time and slows down the uptake of even newer information. The learning curve continues to bend towards the line of absolute knowledge, but never quite gets there. For some in the martial arts, this can be a source of frustration. You remember that in the early days of your training, you learned a great deal in a short amount of time, and that perhaps lately, that's not the case. I have learned, however, that it is perfectly possible, if you have enough time in your training schedule, to spend time refining the skills of one art begun earlier, and on the same day, or at least in the same week, put time into another art that you are in the very early stages of learning. Again, learning the basics in great big chunks. I sometimes compare this to the process of painting a picture. Frequently, The artist will have the outline of every important element of his painting sketched on the canvas within a few hours, but then take weeks or months to adequately fill in the details. It's also not uncommon for the artist to simultaneously have several works in progress at various stages of completion. As for teaching different martial arts, I learned the important basics of the techniques and skills of teaching fairly early in my teaching career. It was not necessary to relearn the basics of teaching each time I began to teach a new art, which was quite a time saver as my teaching career progressed. Once I got permission to teach from my teacher in any given style, I could immediately apply my already developed instructing skills to it, while learning new methods specific to the art as I went along. I find this process grows more efficient with each art that I learn. Getting back to the term master. Dave Smith of the excellent Hi-Ya podcast proposed a definition for master that I rather like, that of a master copy. When using a printer to make copies, you make them from a master copy. While this master copy may not be perfect, it is at a level of quality sufficient to your purpose. In the same vein, the martial arts master can provide a real-world example for the students to emulate, which, while not perfect, does provide a model of high technical proficiency. Having said this, I think much of my concern with the title master in the martial arts stems from the way that I believe it has often been abused in the past, and ties in with another concern of mine regarding the martial arts. This is the feeling, if not outright belief, that many people seem to have that martial arts is a form of magic, or that it at least has some magical properties, and, by extension, that a martial arts master possesses strange, arcane powers. It is also sad but true that many martial artists with the title of master do little or nothing to disabuse the uneducated of these notions. Indeed, some masters actively work towards promoting these notions by staging farcical demonstrations of their amazing powers and basking in the resulting credulous admiration and adulation of the fans and underlings. Students. The human brain is dangerously susceptible to being taken in by such condescending tricks, and I find their use offensive. A comedic fantasy of mine is to imagine these magical powers are real, and to further imagine setting up a match between two such masters. What happens when the perfect attack meets the perfect defense? Would the universe implode? What would the battle look like? Psychic anticipation of each other's tactics? Levitation? Invisibility? Fireballs? Anyway, silliness aside, I guess I will always prefer the simple title of coach or teacher to that of master. I find it more aptly descriptive. Eschewing the title also relieves one from the pesky burden of having to expend energy jealously guarding one's status, freeing you to concentrate on the real task, quality martial arts instruction. Don't even get me started about the title, Grandmaster. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.